You're pretty sure she doesn't know what she's doing. The armor of the rose bonds to its wearer. In this case, the noble knight you serve, your superior to whom you are pledged. And that knight wears armor which glistens in the sun, embossed with patterns of pink and gold. The armor of the rose is an armor of legacy, a thing passed down, and the body it adorns is itself a relic. From the first moment she touched the armor and it bonded to her skin, she has become a unique perfection all her own. You look at her, standing in the practice ring. The long, thin, rose-embossed rapier that she wields so delicately, so easily, moving it like a needle, sewing through armor, through metal, through anyone's guard, taking on three ordinary combatants at once, sweat glistening on her skin as she stands, proud, tall, empowered. You will serve her for the rest of your life, and you get a unique perspective on the person inside the armor. It flares in the sun, her impossible defense, and her preternatural awareness combine to make for a short fight, after which you step forward to quickly strip her out of the armor. It allows you to touch it. That's part of the reason that you pledged to her, actually. So that you are just another of her possessions, and therefore you are permitted to undo the buckles on that legendary suit that would repel all other hands. You're allowed to carry it. It weighs almost nothing. Mithril construction layered with spell upon spell. The living armor grows stronger and stronger by the day. Whenever she wears it, it bonds to her particular needs. Every time she's ever been injured in combat, the armor has improved. Every time she's ever won a great victory, the armor has improved. And the victories she has won in coliseums, at tournaments, on battlefields, have brought her such renown that when she walks up the stairs ahead of you, wearing only her bandeau and a tight pair of cloth pants, barely held together, after long wear, for your lady has taken a vow of poverty, in all things other than the armor, her armaments, and anything she uses to defend the weak or win glory, she is prone to use things until they break, except the bare minimum of charity, and even though prizes are exempt from her oath, she tends to turn those down and pass them to you as well. Her sleeping area is even one she shares with you, and no one ever questions it because you are more equipment, appliance, an attachment to the armor. It is necessary she have a squire bonded to her. And due to the fame she has won, when the two of you walk into her spire room and she peels out of her sweat-soaked clothing, revealing that glistening, unblemished skin, which heals so quickly, which is strong enough to repel an arrow, which you have seen her desperately try to tan, but it stays the same freckled paleness, some artifact of the magic. When she peels out of her clothing and throws it into the laundry basket, you notice she has a delivery from the couriers. It's your job to go through her mail. This is equally a chore, because there are often parcels containing unsavory things you need to keep from her, and a gift, because, you see, if anything sent to her as a present is seen by you first, she's not obligated to donate it by her oath. And so, you get to keep any nice chocolates, or fine perfumes, or one-time bath oils, and you always find a way to sneak them into her routine, and she's allowed to accept your assistance. Her various vows make the armor stronger, and there are a great many. The only one she's categorically refused to swear, despite the monks from the order insisting it would empower her greatly, is chastity. And given she has sprawled on her bed and slid one of the vibrating magical tools that technically belongs to you between her legs, you're unsurprised. Her faint moans and the contortions of her muscles, you can see every perfect one picked out. Her six-pack abs displayed, picked out by sweat and oil. Her breasts high, perky, a generous helping you imagine would perfectly fill your hand. You don't stare at her unduly, even though you know she doesn't mind and she's told you as much. You instead open the letters. The first is an invitation to a tournament. You note this aloud to her and hear her laugh. Good, I was just getting bored. She trembles. You've always wondered if the armor's magic makes her hornier, if she just has that drive. Given her habits, it's unsurprising. Even before she swore the oath of poverty, you've known her to walk around in a ratty, oversized t-shirt, one hand slit down her panties if she was even wearing any, and the other holding food or drink as she stood at her tower looking out. Since bonding to the armor, she's only gotten more gremlin by the day. And you love it so. Completely unconcerned with your attentions, she listens to the clink of a rather nice necklace which you set aside. You'll wear it on fancy occasions. She can't be dressed up, but you're allowed to be, and therefore you're a nice little ornament for her. You tried just tucking the jewelry away, hoping you could sell it to fund her retirement someday, but she found it when she was rooting through your things. Having none of her own, she has that tendency. And she slipped it around your neck, insisting that pretty things should be seen and appreciated. And if she can't wear it herself, that's fine, because she doesn't look at herself all the time, but she's looking at you all the time. You set it aside, enjoying the ruby pattern of the rose that will match her armor, at least. You also have a few nice dresses she's left for you, and some finer, more comfortable clothes from her more observant admirers, who know she prefers shorts and a loose tank top. This last envelope must have a very lavish gift inside, because it is black leather, a sealed package. You pull out your belt knife and lightly slide it into the aperture, cutting the leather cord. There's a more complex leather seal on the inside, inlaid with silver and quite pretty designs. Oh no, you worry that you've cut a wristband maybe, or an anklet? No, it looks like it was... And then the package breaks itself open, a wave of magical energies flowing outward. Unthinkingly, you interpose yourself between the package and the knight who is your charge. A wave of white, hot energy hits you, sets you sprawling. You slide across the pillows that cover the floor of her room, because she is known to curl up in the sun and take a nap, so you bought pillows with your wages. You slide across them, bunched against the wood of the bed in a pile of them. You hear a knock from the bottom of the stairwell right around then, the second your package is opened. But then you hear the monastery guards arresting whoever it is. That's pretty typical. The reason why letters are delivered to your lady is because no one's allowed up here except you. The armor is too much of a risk to the innocent or unwary, and whoever was down there was clearly being pushy. Oh, there's heat. There's heat between your legs, there's heat in your nipples, there's a flowing flood. Is this how she feels all the time? Horny gremlin of your heart, you think of her, you look up. You hear a scrambling, the vibrating toy discarded, clinking against the headboard. She looks over the edge of the bed and into your eyes. Your eyes glow from within, you see it, pink light. Drool trails from the corner of your mouth. She's ravishing, gorgeous, perfection. You do nothing but whimper, sliding your hands between your legs. Please, the words pour from your lips, not quite feeling your own, but you agree with them. Please, I love you, I want you, words like those pour from you. She smirks, then sighs. You always do seem to get hit by the traps, don't you? You know, I would have been immune to that, but that would mess up our little deal. Come on. You don't quite understand what she's saying. She reaches down and picks you up by the scruff of the neck, pushing you onto your hands and knees, and from there onto your feet. She is strong and lifts you effortlessly. The contact of her hand with your body as she cradles under your hips with the other arm and pulls you into a bridal carry against her tits. Oh, oh, any contact with her is sublime. To get to touch such intimate places, the object of your affection, of your devotion, of your obsession. Yes, yes, anything for her, anything under her. I can see it glowing in your name. Standard love spell. Here, I can cleanse it. Come on. And she carries you as you open your mouth and tentatively reach out to lick her breast, licking the salt of her sweat, lapping at her skin, suckling on her nipple, warm, smooth. You feel against your side just how firm her abs are, the glistening of oil on her skin as she carries you toward the shower. I need it to wash up anyway. I'll let you help me. She laughs to herself, but all you know is that the object of your worship is carrying you to a place where you can be hot and wet and together, and you're down for that. The monks do their best to supply her with beneficial accommodations, so the room has a hot tub for soaking sore muscles, showers in the corner, and several benches with wash basins, sponges, and all the nice soaps and oils that you've set out. They have expiries once they open, so you've convinced her that she's allowed to use some of them, since taking care of her unnaturally tough skin tends to require a lot of work. Sometimes with pumice, sometimes just scrubbing her back for a long period of time. Once a wound even healed strangely and you had to apply magical ointments for a while. But all that time being close to her skin didn't prepare you for this. Your body is aflame just from being in contact with her. She sits you down on a bench, but you cling to her, reaching out, gripping her hips, kissing the muscles of her abdomen up, feeling their firm definition as you lavish, smooching attention there, digging your hands into the parts of her that are soft, her hips, her butt. You feel her curves. She moans, quite pleased. Oh, you're being forward. But we've got to get that stuff out of your system. I don't think I'm going to be able to give you the level of devoted control required to make that curse work itself out. I've got too much to do, and so do you. This is really going to eat into your time, being obsessed with me. And when she says it, the words echo, and you know it's true. She can see whatever's in you, and oh, you love it. One of your hands slides down to your nipples, running over them, electric. But it doesn't compare to touching her, kissing her, tasting her, being near her. You watch as she pulls her long brown hair up and back. You watch as she rolls her shoulders, limbering them up. Freckles stand out across her shoulder blades, down her back. She turns her back and you see the muscled definition of her butt. The way everything on her body, she could break you, she could press you, she could lift you against the wall, she could use you any way she likes. You whimper, preparing to get up off the bench and pour toward her, desperate to serve. Ah, stay there. And her command is as good as iron. You are held in place, no longer touching. One of your hands paws, touching your nipples, the other sliding down your thigh. But everything's frozen as you watch her. Just watch her. Unable to even vent off steam by stimulating. Unable to do anything at all, except be in a state of such excitement for her. Such longing. Such wanton, tawdry lust for your companion. You would do anything, could do anything, and left your own devices. You'd do plenty to serve and pleasure and worship and be under her thrall, under her influence, sharing the same air as her, having her within sensory reach is just so much. You think you feel your mind creak from wanting. Now we'll need skin-to-skin contact for this, she says, holding up a big steaming basin of soapy water. She dips her pinky finger in it, and you see a flare of light spread through it, consecrating it not with any god, but with her magic. Her stuff of healing, her stuff of mending, the inherited power of a generation's old armor and of the body she has honed. And she brings that toward you. And all you can think is that she'll be washing you in herself. You know that the mad, wild, pleasurable high of remembering kissing her muscles, remembering touching her body, remembering being in her presence, all those things will fade. But there will be some magic point halfway through the process of her cleansing that magic from you. Some tiny intellectual, non-instinctive part of your mind knows this must have been some misguided fan's attempt to get her under their influence. As though this spell could have affected her. It's only because you opened the mail that anything happened at all. And you're happy that the monastery dungeons are probably home to whoever tried to break in. But all those thoughts vanish when she takes her hand, coated in warm water, and runs it down your back firmly. It's like she's petting you, pushing on the skin slightly, currying your flesh, giving you a massage. She digs her thumb into a tense muscle she finds. You're always massaging me. Feel free, by the way. Skin-to-skin contact just makes this work better. And then a flare of her hot, intense aura flows through you. It's more than perceiving her with your mouth, your eyes. It's more than smelling the arousal that drips off her from the masturbation she was undergoing. You realize she didn't really get to come, or certainly not much. And you do see a drip of her juices down her inner thigh. But she's all business, all seriousness, getting that thing out of your system. Don't think you're getting away with slacking off. Later, when my hands get tired, you're gonna serve. She apparently noticed where you were looking. Oh, well, that's fine. You can move, she says. And you lunge for her, wrapping your hands around, lifting her ass cheeks, dropping them, letting them bounce, feeling all the soft places. But your face is against her firm abs, kissing. Desperate, deliberate. That's right. Ooh, I like that, she says. You know she might like it more if you were lower down, but the coordination required to control where you touch her would require an order. So instead, you just grip her to you, rub your face on her, moan. She sighs and readily runs that water down your back, adding more from the basin as you kiss across her abs, following the line of her musculature, squeezing her ass. She does moan. She has no particular need to be quiet. These are her quarters, and anything she gets up to is up to her. You're just another of her possessions. Oh, you've longed for her for so long, unrequited, wanting her. And now finally she's here. Your mind arcs back to memories of spending time with her long ago, of always being interested and just being too shy to say anything. And now she's finally here and she wants you. You should surrender to anything she wants you to do. When she tells you to round your back so she can rub more of you, you do. And you feel her calm, pure energy soaking into you. The purity of her chaotic, deliberate force of personality. You kiss harder. She takes one of your hands and slides it between her legs and tells you to be useful, and you grin happily, pushing fingers inside. And then, for the first time, you feel her squeeze down on you. You confess your love. You say, "Oh, I've always wanted to do this with you." She gives you a funny look. And then she begins gently running her claws, her nails, but they can curl into little claws down your back, which opens the tiniest of little scratch marks, little red impressions, and her energy in that sudsy hot water soaks across them, carrying away all the stuff that got into you, clearing your mind. Your body has other ideas. You feel her wet confines wrapped around your fingers. You rub yourself against her, inhaling her, kissing her, lavishing her. It's exactly what she deserves. She smirks and leans down, arcing her body over you. Her breasts rub against your head as her abs pull away, and you just enjoy having her tits around you as you stare at the muscled movement of her flexible form. And then she reaches down, slaps your ass gently, resulting in a resounding sensation storm. Oh, oh. And then she stands back up. There, that'll just take a second to soak in. And runs the sudsy water down the nearby drain. Come on. She lifts you effortlessly into her arms, presses your face to her tit, encourages you to drink in every sense of her, to luxuriate in her. You're no longer able to touch her, but her juices are still on your fingers, and she guides those fingers to your mouth to taste her directly. And then you suck on her nipple as directed, your mouth filled with her tang and with the fresh, warm taste of her soft, pliable skin. Carrying you as effortlessly as she does, she moves over toward the shower in the corner and turns on the faucet, the pipe shutter, and warm water at just the right temperature. She's always so good at exactly turning it, pours out. You know, all that stuff you were saying earlier, I think whoever sent that wanted to put false memories in, honey. I think it's time I remind you. She pushes you against the wall, her abs against your stomach. She's taller than you, so her tits are against your face as she kisses the top of your head. She takes her very skilled hands and grabs your ass. Then she slides one lubricated finger, one of the two fingers on each hand where she keeps the nails very short, slips it against your hole and rubs in a circle as she pushes forward against you. You're being ground against her abs. She's stimulating you, masturbating you with humping against the musculature, because she's raised you up and let you curve your back enough that you can finally hump, hump, hump yourself into oblivion while she's rubbing your butt. We do this all the time, hon. She reminds you. Oh, yes. As the spark of that curse flows out of you, not the first time you've taken one for her. You remember dungeon after dungeon. And every time the dungeon overlord thinks they can get around things with a lust curse, you take it. It's funny, because they would mostly bounce off of her, just like this one would have. But she always gets a kick out of it. And you've always told her to go ahead and remind you what the real situation is. Horny little beast that she is, there's no way she wouldn't be using you like this with your consent if you wanted it. And you do, so the two of you. She pushes her finger in, curls it, and milks you for pleasure from the inside, while meanwhile you're just humping against her. Some remnant of the submissive magic of the curse makes it puppeted and automatic, but of course she likes that. She likes the way you move, the way you can remember to move even when she pulls you off of her tit, presses you harder to the wall so that you're flat against it, and begins to kiss you, her lips against yours, her tongue. Then she leans back, holding you under your ass, and slowly lowers you, effortlessly lifting you so your mouth is level with her neck, and you kiss the line of it. She reaches back and lets her hair out of its ponytail. It falls just to her shoulders. You kiss up along her cheek, behind her ear where she likes. Kissing, nibbling, she moans. You know she's dripping. You can smell it in the air. She's probably going to have you completely replace her toy when she goes back to bed. More worship. I was quite enjoying it, she says, her grin mocking, but her hands very kind. As she pinches your nipples and runs them down you. She's pressing you against the wall and using the force of her muscled body to hold you there, one leg coming up so you can still hump against her, but now against her muscled thigh, feeling the curve and the extra flesh there, all that wonderful definition hidden beneath her soft, feminine smoothness. She tastes, looks, feels, smells, sounds exquisite. Everything about her perfect. You let her rest you on her leg like that and humps, hump, hump. You hump against her and she moves it against you, adding extra friction, stimulation, building You see your juices on her thigh. You see that you're aroused enough that you've begun to drip. And she pushes up against you, presses her hands down your back, massages your skin once more. And since those places are where her scratches went over you, it makes the sensation intense, constant, running through you. She digs her claws in, and then she presses you between her tits to kiss the cleavage there. She slowly lets you drop down the wall, going to her knees herself till you're sitting, which puts you level with her abdomen. You kiss down the musculature there. You really do like the way it looks. It's your first favorite thing when she peels out of her clothing. Even when she gives you a little striptease when she's in the mood. But then she lets you go lower down, pushing her thigh against your face. She's not letting you in between. You can smell her pure arousal. You know she's soaked. You lick her juices off her thigh, licking back up, feeling the muscle there, which is twitching because she's so turned on by seeing you there, seated as she's half standing, one knee down on the padded bath mat. You're kissing her inner thigh. You can see everything, see her perfect slit parted, see her clit swelling and swelling with sheer need. She was interrupted, and she hasn't came yet. I can see you still want it, and I don't think it's the curse. You want me to get off. You always do have trouble neglecting my needs. Maybe you need to get more comfortable with that. Keep kissing. She leans down, pushes her forearm in front of your face, and lets you kiss up there, up the perfectly defined musculature, while her other hand just claws lightly from your neck down your collarbone onto your chest. She pinches your nipple at the moment you kiss her bicep, and then she just presses both her arms to either side of your head, her boobs under your chin, turning your face up, letting you smooch at her collarbones while she settles down, one knee on either side, and lowers her body, lowers her body. You're completely surrounded by her. Her muscles are all around you. She has her arms clenched up so they're tight against her tits, which are pushed right against you. You can feel her nipples against your shoulders, against your chin. She pushes them together, bouncing her generous handful of flesh. Her arms are pushed to you so you feel the musculature, and she wraps them around you, clinging tight, forming a hold, forming a cage of her flesh. Her legs wrap likewise, and she just humps against you. Her abdomen rubs against your belly, and she drips her juices, painting them on you, almost as if marking you. There's not a particular sexual purpose, but you do feel her clit bump against you a few times, and she spasms. Her whole body locks down around you, caging you, retaining you, holding you. You're covered in her, absolutely covered in her. Every bit of you is responding to her touch as she trembles, and there's so many powerful muscles going through spasmodic, orgasmic. Her face is a slovenly mess. Her cheeks are flushed, that freckled skin, that pale skin that can't even tan because she's too resistant. It colors red from within. All over. A global experience. She probably came on the bed, but nothing like this. She climaxes, her thick juices dripping onto you, painting your inner thigh, as she squeezes you so tight that you're feeling every one of her muscles, how it's standing out, shining as though oiled, sweat and goosebumps all over her. Coming, coming, just coming around you and on you in a position anyone would be envious of. You feel how hard her nipples are. She kisses your neck and then she sucks hard, making a little love bite on the side of you. You just feel yourself tremble as she comes and comes and comes in some residual, obedient part of the spell is expelled from your body at that last moment as you join in her climactic release, meeting her gaze, your mouth slightly open, trying to form a word, but all you form is the beginning of your climactic moan. Coming, coming, and that sets her off again as she begins humping so hard you're sure you'll bruise lightly in the morning, humping against you, grinding against you, her whole body an awakened blur of movement, every muscle standing out as you come, as you come, as you try to rock or try to arch or try to rise or try to do anything, but she's restraining you as effective as any bondage gear, meaning that you have no chance to vent all that sensation. You just have to feel it, because she's all around you, tight against you, holding you where you are, As you breathe her in, as you lick her up, as you kiss as best you can while she leaves love bites all down your neck that you know everyone's gonna see but no one's gonna comment on. You moan into her and she moans back, still caught in her own throes. As you, amplified, magnified, afflicted by that spell, feel everything, taking her climax as permission and command to seek your own. Oh, she moans, gasps, wraps around you, twitches. Even her aftershocks are setting you off again as your body just experiences. Your ass clenches. You drool. Your eyes roll back, caught in your own pleasure and hers as well. As the two of you collapse, you rather more exhausted than she, against the wall of that comfortable tiled room. She gestures, a wave of heat traveling from her and into the nearby bath, which then begins to steam. You'd forgotten she could do that. She hasn't quite recovered because she doesn't get up. She just flops back onto a towel, breathing heavily. You get to see the full expanse of her body. Every glistening muscle picked out by her sweat, the goosebumps standing. Her clit is completely spread from its hood. She's so aroused, it's standing up almost an inch, enlarged as it is, by her long ministrations and the pumping devices she holds on to. You move forward, extending your lips. She pushes against your head. Any other time I'd let you, but I really want that hot bath. And then, reaching out with her powerful arms, she begins to drag herself across the bathroom floor on its many towels and mats. Absolute gremlin that she is. Her skin glistens as she turns over. You see her shove a towel between her legs so she can hump her oversensitized clit against it. You see her butt clench and clench as she pushes her kegel muscles and brings herself toward a prone orgasm. You watch her climax hotly against the towel, still crawling toward the bathtub. You really can't get up. And when she sees this, she sighs, trembling. Her belly is so tight and tense that you can see the abdominal muscles even more defined than they were before. She does struggle up to hands and knees, effortlessly sling you over her back where you feel the muscles there standing, feel how strong she is, and then crawls toward the bathtub with you humorously placed there, which is good because you were completely spent and you could use the hot water. When it immerses you, the last of the curse is cleansed away, and you look up at your boon companion as she kisses you and then slides over the edge and right into the water, underwater in fact. Bubbles emerge as she exploits the water breathing her sympathetic link to the armor gives her to let her completely immerse herself. And you see that she's already begun masturbating again. By the time she floats back up to the surface, her hair haloed around her, breasts having fallen into her armpits and almost vanished since she's laying on her back, her inner thighs, the juice is still so thick and sticky that even after submersion, there are traces of lighter, brighter definition there. You just sit against the wall of the tub, heat from toes to your shoulders, cleansing. Relaxing. You better relax. Better get enough energy back for round two. That was exciting. I want to see what else I can have you kiss. She flicks her own clit, causing her whole body to shudder where it's floating in the water. Yeah, definitely. And then, eyes closing, the two of you sit in companionable silence. That tournament invitation isn't until next week. Looks like it's going to be an enjoyable weekend.